Okay, good morning. Let's see if we can just recap a little bit and put ourselves back into the spirit of last week's figure. So we were discussing last week a little bit about when the beginning of life is. Does life begin at the moment of conception? Does life begin halachically at the moment of birth? And a very, very important, nafkamin, a very important difference to halacha. What if you have abortion is? So even though nobody's going to say outright that abortion is always permissible, it is still very important for us to ascertain, are we dealing with a prohibition of ritzicha, of murder? Or are we dealing with some kind of a lower level kind of a prohibition? The nafkamina will be, what do we need in order to be matir in abortion? If you go down the route that abortion is considered to be like ritzicha, because life began already at the time of conception, then clearly only the heter of rodef will be relevant. If and when the baby is endangering the life of the mother, as the Gemara actually depicts such an illustration, then we would permit an abortion. Short of that, the answer would be no. If you hold that abortion is not really murder, and I didn't say it's permissible, maybe it's a variety of other possible isurim, but murder it's not, then we could begin to discuss if there are certain very, very extenuating circumstances, could we possibly permit an abortion? So this, which we mentioned last week, we went through the Lomdus a little bit last week, most probably a machlokis, and we showed him Rashi and the Rambam, was actually a machlokis to Gadol HaPoskim, probably the last generation. The machlokis involved many great Gadolim, but we're going to present it as two great Gadolim who argued about this. One was Rav Moshe Feinstein, and one was the Tzitz Eliezer of Waldenburg. Rav Moshe Feinstein, I'm sure everybody well aware who he was. He was the undisputed Pesach Hador of last generation. Happens to be his son, Reb David Feinstein, was just nifter literally in Friday right before Shabbos. Actually, his Levaya is taking place this morning. So Reb Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion, very, very strong opinion, that abortion is considered to be like murder. And therefore, it is not negotiable, no matter how difficult the circumstances are. And Reb Moshe, those who knew Reb Moshe, know anything about Reb Moshe Feinstein, he was, we have a picture of him in a shiur we mentioned last week. Reb Moshe Feinstein was the most compassionate, the most warm, most loving individual could possibly be. And Reb Moshe with a broken heart, when he answered tshuvas, the people who would sometimes ask him questions, where Reb Moshe felt that there was really no room to maneuver in halacha. It didn't in any shape or form mean Reb Moshe didn't feel the pain and then the compassion, didn't cry. Reb Moshe really was of the opinion that we're dealing with a very, very serious prohibition of murder and there's really nothing that we can do. And it's because of this, Reb Moshe's opinion was that even in situations of very, very serious potential birth defects, it doesn't matter, said Reb Moshe, ritzicha is ritzicha, and we cannot negotiate, we cannot discuss ritzicha. And the Tzitz Eliezer disagreed. The Tzitz Eliezer was one of the Gedolei HaPoskim in Eretz Yisrael. He was actually the posek for Shaarei Tzedek Hospital for many, many years. He was very, very much involved. We're going to hear his name often this year. He's very involved in medical shailas. And the Tzitz Eliezer's opinion was no, that it is not ritzicha. It is also for other reasons, but not ritzicha. And therefore, under very extenuating circumstances, it would be permissible. The Tzitz Eliezer actually permitted it in a situation of Tay-Sachs. Tay-Sachs was many of you probably heard of Tay-Sachs. Tay-Sachs years ago was a very, very serious issue, particularly in the Ashkenazi Jewish community. It was a genetic disease that there was absolutely no cure for. It was a very, very tragic disease where a child, a little baby, would get sick not all that long after birth and would not survive after a couple of years. A very, 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 very debilitating and very, very horrific disease to watch. And Tay-Sachs could sometimes be detected, in those days able to be detected, in utero, it was able to be detected through an amniocentesis, testing the fetus. And the question is now, what do you do? Now you come up with this terrible realization that this child is a Tay-Sachs baby. What do you do? So according to Tzitz Eliezer, you would be permitted to abort it because the tzar that's going to be caused for the baby and for the parents constitute such extenuating circumstances that we can permit an abortion. And Reb Moshe said that even under those circumstances, one would not be permitted to have an abortion. Baruch Hashem, the particular machla of Tay-Sachs has become almost non-existent in our community because of pre-screening and pre-genetic testing, and certainly get close to getting married. So Dor Yesharim and other kinds of systems that have screened for that particular disease. So that is not the pressing issue. There are other issues that come up. There are other shailas that come up. Again, each case has to be evaluated properly, whether there's anything to discuss in terms of potentially having an abortion. When we speak about the prohibition of abortion, again, according to Ramayisha, talking about those chomer visurim of ritzicha, of sirtach, is there a point in the pregnancy that maybe is a little bit too early on for it to constitute an act of ritzicha, even according to the machmirim? So here we find that in pregnancy, the halacha differentiates, the halacha delineates with different stages of pregnancy. The first 40 days of a pregnancy have very, very unique status. The Gemara actually uses the phrase in Maseches Nida, that the fetus is what we call, I don't even know the fetus, the embryo is kamaya bialma. It's literally water. I mean, it's a batch of cells that's not recognizable as any shape or form of a human being. And in fact, that corresponds with the sciences as well, that if you would look at a sonogram before 40 days, you really couldn't tell all that much. Soon afterwards, when the fetus begins to develop, it starts to begin to take on a little bit of a tzura of a human. At the point of pre-40 days, could one argue that maybe to abort, quote-unquote, such a fetus would be not a violation of ritzicha? So in fact, that was the view of Reb Chaim Oizer. Reb Chaim Oizer was one of the great poskim in Europe right before the war. And he suggested that even if you would prohibit abortions under normal circumstances, perhaps pre-40 day abortions would be permissible. The problem with that is that it may not help us all that much. Because most of the issues that come up, most of the particular birth defects and genetic issues that are discovered, they are very rarely able to be discovered until past 40 days. If the technology would be advanced enough that we could be able to already detect some of these problems so early on in the pregnancy, that would be wonderful, that would be very helpful. But practically speaking, I don't think we're there yet. And therefore, although it's a theoretical something to keep on the back burner, in terms of practical lemaisa, most of the times that the shaylas come to Rabbanim these days about potential abortions, it's well past the point, the cutoff point of 40 days. So this shayla that we've been discussing, in terms of what the status of a fetus is, at first glance should impact on a very real shayla, perhaps an even more relevant shayla for us, and that's within the parameters of pikuach nefesh. So pikuach nefesh is something that we're going to hopefully speak a lot about during the course of this year. What are some of the guidelines and some of the halachas that govern pikuach nefesh? Everybody knows. You're permitted, you're required to be Mechal Shabbos, you have to eat in Yom Kippur, you have to eat Chametz Abayah, you have to do pretty much all of Averus for Pikuach Nefesh, except of course for the big three, the Yehari Bel Yavor, or for the Zerg, the rest of Shulchan Aruch. And the question becomes, what would the din be if an uber is in distress, a fetus is in distress, and the doctors ascertain that this fetus may not survive unless you do X, Y, and Z, unless you're Mechal Shabbos? Are you permitted to be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of an uber? What would that halacha be? So at first glance, that should be the same question. Namely, if you go down the route of those Rishonim, such as the Rambam, with the Rav Moshe Feinstein Paskin, that the Uber is considered to be alive at that point, so that Pikuach Nefesh should kick in, so then I have to preserve the life of the Uber. But if you hold like the other view, which would seem to be Shitas Rashi, that was seemed to be adopted by Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Oldenburg, that the baby, this fetus, is not really alive, so that it's hard to envision a Sugi Pikuach Nefesh, something that's not a nefesh, something that's not a life yet. So that's what I would have said. I may backtrack from that in a moment, but at least misvara, that's the way we should analyze it. Do we have any rayas? Do we have any sources? Do we have any proofs from the Gemara that talk about this? So the answer is, perhaps, there is a sugya in Maseches Yuma, actually a Mishnah in the end of Maseches Yuma, that discusses a woman who is pregnant on Yom Kippur and is having difficulty in the pregnancy. It's early on, not the end, not birth time. It's somewhat earlier in the pregnancy, and she's having trouble, and the doctors ascertain that she is at risk of miscarrying. Isha she'ericha, she potentially may miscarry. And now the question becomes, what are you allowed to do for Yom Kippur? So the Mishnah says very clearly that if there's no other option, then you have to machil nasa, then you have to feed her, she has to eat on Yom Kippur. Of course, eating on Yom Kippur is an Issa Torah, an Issa Chomer, very, very serious Torah prohibition. And yet the Mishnah says that it is lifted from Pikuach Nefesh of the Uber, of the fetus. So this seems to be open and shut case. This seems to be an absolute proof to the view of the Rambam, to the opinion that was adopted by Rav Moshe, that the fetus is considered to be a life. Life begins at conception. And therefore the halachas of Pikuach Nefesh should kick in. This seems to be supported by this Mishnah in Maseches Yuma. Unless one wants to argue that maybe this Mishnah Maseches Yuma is a little bit different. Maybe medically we misunderstood what the concern is. Maybe it's not that we're just worried about the fetus losing its life, which may be true, but that may impact upon the life of the mother as well. A miscarriage is a potentially dangerous situation, not just for the fetus, but for the mother. And therefore, when the Mishnah says that we can intercede, we can intervene, and we can feed this woman on Yom Kippur, this doesn't necessarily mean that the halacha is willing to override Yom Kippur for the life of a mere fetus. Perhaps the other poskim are right. Perhaps Rashi's right. Perhaps the Tzitzit Eliezer is right. That the fetus is not really alive. But the reason why we're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur is to save the mother's life, not the fetus's life. So we thought we had a proof from this Mishnah, and now we're backpedaling a little bit. We're not sure. So the only way for us to really bring a proof, whether or not the koach nefesh of an uber is a concern to us, to the extent of being doche, Yom Kippur, etc., we would have to create a new case. We have to depict a new illustration. We have to construct a new scenario where the mother's life is not in danger anymore. When clearly there's no danger to the mother's life, there is only a danger to the fetus's life, and that will be our test case. That's going to be our scenario, and we want to know what would Chazal say about that. So if Chazal say about that, you could still violate Isurim, even though the mother's life is clearly not in danger, then the story's over. And we've proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that a fetus constitutes pikuach nefesh. So what is the answer? What is the chayis? Does such a chayis exist? So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Eruchin about the following scenario. What if you have a woman who is pregnant, and then it's very, very close towards the end of the pregnancy, and Nebuch, tragically, right before she gives birth, the mother dies. The mother's no longer alive. But we suspect that the uber, the fetus, may still be alive. And we know, we always hear these stories on the news. Every once in a while, you hear these crazy stories. The mother died in a car accident, and they ran and they did an emergency C-section, took out the baby. So it happens. So Chazal described this exact scenario. The mother is no longer alive, but the fetus is still alive. Say Chazal and Maseches Eruchin, we could do anything and everything in our power to save the life of this fetus, even on Shabbos, even if it entails flagrant violation of Shabbos, that's okay, that's fine. We are permitted, based on the principles of Pikuach Nefesh, to save this fetus. So at first glance, we found the proof. At first glance, we found that test case that we were looking for. We were searching for a description of a scenario where the mother's life is not in danger, only the fetus's life is in danger. We found it, tragically. The reason why the mother's life is not in danger is because she's not alive anymore. So we found a scenario where it's Pikuach Nefesh for an uber, and Chazal seemed to be giving us the green light, seemed to be telling us that that's okay, seemed to be telling us that that's justified. Could we possibly refute that? Anyone think of any way to refute that proof?
Well, in the case where the mother's still alive, the baby's still depending on the mother. Here, the mother's dead, so now maybe it becomes...
Excellent! So you're mechaving to the Rush. So the Rush is exactly what you said. The Rush says, no, it's not a good proof at all. Says the Rush. The only reason why those who argue that a fetus is not technically alive is because it's dependent upon the mother. It's getting its nourishment, it's getting everything from the mother, so it hasn't been yotzel of her own, it hasn't entered into the world yet. Once the mother dies, that baby is basically on its own. That baby is alive. The Rosh actually gives a mashal. It's alive, and it's like locked in a room. It's locked inside the physical trappings of the mother's body. And since the mother's body is no longer providing for this fetus, so technically, this fetus has been born already. And since it's born, this baby is basically born already, then of course the regular rules of Pikuach Nefesh kick in. So therefore, we have come to the conclusion that we have no conclusion. We have two cases of Chazal about Pikuach Nefesh for Ubers. One of them was the woman, the pregnant woman eating on Yom Kippur. We thought that was a proof. We said, no, that's not a proof, because there it's the mother's life we're trying to save. Then we have proof number two from the case of the woman who died and was still permitting to take out the baby even at the expense of Chilul Shabbos. He said, no, that's not a proof either, because the other baby was technically already independent from the mother. The mother's no longer alive. So we don't have any proofs. So what's the answer? So the Rosh has an interesting comment. The Rosh Maseches Yuma comments that this is almost a moot question. We're spending a lot of time along this and figuring out what's the din. Is Pikuach Nefesh for an Uber? Yeah, no. Says the Rosh. There's never going to be a case. Because practically speaking, every danger to the uber is by definition a danger to the mother, and vice versa. A miscarriage is a chashash pikuach nefesh for the mother. So it says the Rosh, you're never going to have a case. So if somebody calls her on Shabbos, comes running and says, Rabbi, the wife is miscarrying, what do you do? It's not time to people. Well, do we hold like Ramesha? Do we hold like Tzitliyaza? Do we hold like Rasha? It's a moot question, says the Rosh. Of course it's going to be pikuach nefesh. It's pikuach nefesh for the mother, by definition. So therefore, there wouldn't be no such case. It could be that that medical assessment that the Rosh may have changed, it's possible that you may have a scenario where the doctors today will tell you otherwise. We'll tell you that maybe in the Rosh's days, it was impossible. The medicine had not developed to the point to be able to separate one from the other. It's possible today. I don't know. I'm not an expert in that field. I never went to medical school. One could potentially create such a scenario where really, truly, it is not a danger to the mother. It is really only isolated as a danger to the Uber. Then what would the halacha be? So the halacha we paskin that pikuach nefesh of an Uber is something that we are concerned with. And we would be mechal Shabbos even if it's only to save the Uber, to save the fetus. However, that doesn't necessarily indicate about what we think about the abortion question, and I'll explain to you why. There was a Ramban in Maseches Nida, where the Ramban tells us, and this is something we're going to hopefully come back to many, many times in the next couple of weeks. The Ramban tells us there are actually two primary sources for Pikuach Nefesh in Halacha. Anybody know there are actually multiple sources? But give me two. The Tamar Reach is an interesting one. So that actually speaks about when, if I see somebody in who is potentially going to die, I have to intercede, I have to do something, but it doesn't tell me that I have a right to violate Isurim to do that. So you're right, that is a source for the importance of Pikuach Nefesh, but it doesn't quite tell me that, that trumps Shabbos, but it's a good, interesting point. So give me a proof that Pikuach Nefesh trumps Shabbos. The Torah says, Ashayase el sama adam va cha, v'chai v'chai v'hem, good, okay, possibly in Parashat Achimos, v'chai v'hem, says the Torah, v'chai v'hem v'lo shiyomus v'hem. That you're supposed to live by the Dinei Torah, not supposed to die by the Dinei Torah. Torah shouldn't cause you to die. Keeping the mitzvah shouldn't be a source of the person dying. Therefore, if you have to eat on Yom Kippur, so you eat on Yom Kippur. And if you have to drive to the hospital on Shabbos, you drive to the hospital on Shabbos. Pikuach Nefesh is Docha V'chai Ben V'losh Yom Kippur. However, there's another source, a little bit less lesser known source. That's a Gemara also in Maseches Yuma. It says in the Torah, V'shomru V'nei Source Shabbos. Chazal say, Chaleo Shabbos Achas. Remember the end of the phrase?
To keep it for a minute.
Kadesh Yishma Shabbos Harbe. Sometimes it's a good investment to be Michal Shabbos. Please don't misquote me on that one. Sometimes it's a good idea to be Michal Shabbos. You know why? If I be Michal Shabbos this week, I will ensure that somebody will have the opportunity to keep Shabbos for the next 20 years. Chalel Shabbos Achas. It's worth it to desecrate Shabbos once to enable Shabbos Harbe down the line. Say Chazal, that's another source of Pikuach Nefesh. It's worth it to do the emergency surgery today so that hopefully the patient will recover in the next 20 years will be able to keep Shabbos. So these are two different sources for seemingly the same halacha. Could somebody possibly think of a difference between the two?
Well, in our case of the fetus, it would make a huge difference whether or not you can save the fetus. The fetus isn't keeping the mitzvahs itself, but so it wouldn't apply whether it's not. But the other one, if we save it now, it's going to have its entire life ahead of it.
Very good. Excellent. You're becoming to the Ramban and says needed. The Ramban says that the Chaybahem, could that apply to a fetus? Maybe and maybe no, depending on what you think about the Rambam and Rashi and Moshe and Tzitzel, is it a Chay, is it a Nefesh or not? I'm not sure whether the fetus is a Chay yet, whether it's a Nefesh yet. But one thing the Ramban says is crystal clear. It's a phenomenal investment. Save the fetus's life. You know why? Because for the next 120 years, we'll keep Shabbos. B'shamar es also Shabbos. So the Ramban says that when you pass get a shayla pikuach nefesh, you have to ask yourself two questions. Number one, is it b'chai b'hem? Is this person alive and we're trying to preserve life? And even if the answer is no, this person is not alive, but is it a good investment? Because it will turn out that chalel Shabbos achas, yeshish b'shabbos harbi, that may be another reason to be able to be b'chal Shabbos. So hopefully, Mitzvah, we're going to take this Ramban and try to extend and extrapolate from this Ramban to some other potentially, I can't say Lamaisa applications, but some very fascinating applications. Hopefully, Mitzvah, next week, we'll try to put the final touches on this part of the Sugya, and then Mitzvah, we'll be able to move on to other aspects in terms of issues we're in, Refu and Cholim, etc. Okay? Wish everybody a wonderful day, a wonderful week.
Thank you.